Blog Talk Radio.
I've been there and done that. The husband, children, house, job, bills, and baseball games. Mix it all up and sometimes you're not sure what you'll get. One thing's for sure, today's mom has a balancing act beyond belief at times. Staying on course depends on your fortitude, organization, and resources to get you through each day. This is a real show giving you real advice based on real mothers who are getting the job done. I invite you to breathe a bit, sit down, and listen to some of the kernels of wisdom to help you become a fabulous chief mother in charge of your life, your home, and your family. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to our show today, and we have a lot to cover. In fact, I thought about this topic rather recently and put it out there on my social media platforms, wanted to get a sense of what some of my subscribers, members, friends, colleagues would think. And boy, the list is long. It is so long when I ask for advice that I'm now going to carry this over and we're going to have two shows about this. Now, clearly, this coming weekend, if you're listening to the show live or within the next couple of days, we're leading up to Mother's Day. And for those who want to learn about the history of Mother's Day, I've done a Mother's Day show for many years. You can go to my blog where this show is actually going to be housed, and that is Carol Copeland Thomas, my name, carolcopelandthomas.com. That's Carol with an E, copelandthomas.com. Go to today's blog, May 11th, 2017, and I have a whole section down there that gives the whole history of Mother's Day internationally. We obviously focus on Juliet Howe and Anna Jarvis and their participation, but we also cover how Mother's Day is recognized in the United Kingdom, parts of England. It goes back centuries, really. We just sort of adopted it for our own contemporary purposes. So you can read about that at the website. But I thought that this time I wanted to give some advice. I figured I'm at the age now where I can give advice. I've sort of been there. I've done that, enjoying my life as a grandmother, but I'm still working. So there is the working component of it, and all mothers are working mothers, whether you're working in the home or whether you're working in a manufacturing facility or an office. But we want to give you some advice so that you'll be able to get through your life as a mother. I can remember with very young children saying, oh my goodness, how am I going to make it through this? Because there's so much to do every single day. So let's jump right in here. And I promise all those on Facebook and Twitter who gave great comments, we will make sure we get through each and every one of them because all of them represent really wonderful ways of approaching Mother's Day. So if we don't get through it today, we'll get through it next week, and we'll make sure we'll cover all these topics. But I guess the first thing I want to say is I want you to lighten up on yourself. Sometimes, especially if you are a young mother, there is a tendency for perfection. We don't want to do anything to harm our children. Most mothers, unless there's obviously something mentally going on, but most mothers want the absolute best for their children. They want to be the best mom. They want to present themselves the best way. They want to have the best food, the best house, all of that. They want to be the best wife if you are married. Or if you have a significant other, you want to be the best that you can to your spouse. So whatever your dynamics happen to be, there is this ideological reach for being a perfectionist. Now, let me just start here and say you need to lighten up on yourself, and you are human, and you will make mistakes. I can wallpaper the walls of my house and this office that I'm sitting in now in my house with all of the mistakes that I have made as a mom. So you the best way to approach motherhood is to sort of take yourself sometimes humorously, realize that you are human, and realize that in the course of a 24-hour day, you may not get to everything. In the course of a year, you may not get to everything. So you catch my drift. So just lighten up and just be who you are, the best of who you are, and literally everything else will take care of itself. I'm just amazed that, you know, there's no manual that comes with being a mom. I had three children. There is absolutely no manual. And I needed in those delivery rooms and the week or two after I had my first child, way back when in the 70s, and had my next children, I had a set of twins in 1979, I needed my mothers around me. And that included my own mother and my mother-in-law, and they were always there for me. So that locked in me that I had the resources and I had the love connected with me so that what I didn't know and what I didn't do, I was able to reach out to my family members and obviously friends and colleagues to help me get through the rest. So lighten up on yourself, pace yourself, breathe, and do what you can to navigate through your day. Organization is a key. It is helpful, but we're not always that organized. So if you are halfway organized and you can punt the rest of the way, that's a way to deal with it. Now, this weekend in particular, on Mother's Day weekend, I'd like for all of you, regardless of your status as a mother or not being a mother, to be sensitive to the women around you and the men around you, because this is a very difficult weekend for a number of people. I have people in my circle of friends. I have individuals who have recently, as recent as this week, lost their own mother. I was very close to my mother. She was my best friend, and she died before her 81st birthday the week before Mother's Day. We buried her the Saturday before Mother's Day. So I know that trauma. And having lost my own son the year before, now some 20 years ago, I know the double whammy of celebrating this holiday when you just have buried a loved one, your mother, your aunt, your sister, your child, or whatever. So be sensitive. Sometimes instead of saying Happy Mother's Day, I hope you have a great day, you can say I'm thinking about you on Mother's Day. I'm going to actually place a call to a very dear friend because of her circumstances and this being an extremely painful weekend for her. So sensitivity, the kind of words that you use, and most importantly, developing a sense of empathy, a real sense of empathy for these moms and grandmas and aunts and cousins and friends who are trying to struggle through Mother's Day weekend. So that's your tip for that. Getting back to some of the other tips in terms of the balancing act, music is a great healer. There's something about music that stimulates the emotions in us. So find a favorite song, and particularly when you're having difficult days, play that song in your head. Run that song by you so that you can have that to hang on to when you're going through really, really difficult days. I want to point up, this is now I'm going to my Facebook posting and all of these wonderful, wonderful comments and words of wisdom that are here. Gary Marion has said, do not alienate the children from the father. Parental alienation is a serious problem. Believe me, I know. Those of you who are no longer with your partner, the father of your child, this can also apply to the mother, but particularly with the father who is the parent, the other parent to your child, based on your circumstances, do whatever you can to not break the link with your child. Now, obviously, if there are extraordinary circumstances that are beyond your control, you have to govern yourself accordingly. But in many ways, don't use your own anger and your own resentment for whatever did or didn't happen with your relationship, and then you use that as a whipping post over the head of your former partner, husband, spouse, whatever. And this is what Gary is saying. He said he believes, believe me, I know it. I can say that also. I'm a divorcee. Fortunately, my children to this day have a very strong relationship with their father, always have. He was never barred from seeing them or being with them. I'm also the product of a divorced parent, divorced parents. And the same thing was true with my mother. She never barred my father from having a relationship with me and my brother. So I am a very strong proponent of that. And Gary Marion, you are absolutely correct with that. Now, C.V. Myers, who's a young mom, says leave work at the door when you walk into the home. For those who have a stressful job, make the most of the time you have with your family and be present. That's so good, such great advice, and can be very difficult to achieve sometimes, especially if you have a very high-pressure job. And the boss expects you to have that project finished by this time. And because we have all these PDAs, these personal devices, and social media, et cetera, and text devices and email, you can find yourself doing work at midnight and 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning and getting a response from the other person. If you have a family, you probably want to watch that. You want to be very protective of your time outside of the workplace, depending on your circumstances. There are times when, yes, you have to put in some extra time. You have to go to work on the weekends. You have to work late hours. Those things, they do happen. But as much as possible, if you can be present, as CV has said, and I know who she is because she has a wonderful young baby boy, with her hubby, do what you can to protect your home time so that you're not present in the body, should I say, when you're talking to your spouse or your significant other or friends and your children, and your mind really is back on the job. It's a balancing act. It's something you have to work on and focus on, and it is particularly tricky if you have a home-based business. I have a home-based business and have had one for decades now, even though I had an office and I've worked in an office, but there's always been commerce going on in my house. So learning how to differentiate the time between working and being with your family is something that you need to focus on and diligently be very intentional about. Otherwise, your bleed through will make you a complete workaholic, and families can sometimes resent that. I can say also, sort of picking up on that point, I was always concerned about guilt and feeling guilty by what I was doing as a working mom, then as a single mom, and taking care of teenage children. And my daughter, and I remember my son before he passed away saying to me when I had one of these guilty moments, "No, Mom, you're an entrepreneur. You're bringing home the revenue." And my children reinforced in me why I didn't need to feel guilty about what I was doing. So sometimes that reinforcement and affirmation will come from your family to let you go forward. But my daughter, who's a psychologist, says that self-care is very important and you need to carve out time for yourself. Now, she has a 6-year-old and an almost 9-year-old. My older granddaughter will be 9 on Monday. You can see their pictures again at the blog. There's a wonderful family photo I have of all my children, grandchildren, and sons-in-law, and you can see it there. But she says take time for yourself. And she also says she gave a wonderful example when you get on an airplane and they always give you the requirements, the safety requirements before the plane takes off. And one of the requirements is put your mask on first if you have children. So no matter what airline you're talking about, you put your mask on first. Because if you can't save yourself first, how in the world are you going to take care of your family? So you translate that to your home activities. If you can't take care of yourself, love yourself, pamper yourself from time to time, you need that just to fortify yourself to go forward. So that really, those are really important, great, great tips. Make sure that you have a support network. You need to have people around you, near and far, where you can sort of offload when the need arises. Now, this is beyond, this is not a babysitter. Now, you need babysitters. Good Lord knows you need babysitters. But these are people who will support and affirm your very existence as a mom, particularly when times are tough and the money is not coming in the way it should and you've got horrendous circumstances that you've got to walk through. I'm telling you what I know. And maybe you've got disagreements that you've got to work through at work or during with your relationships, your personal relationships, whatever your circumstances happen to be, you need to have a support network around you, people who can affirm your vitality and your credibility and can be there to listen to you when you need to talk and really vent. My mom was that first, that person who was there for me until her death in 1998, and there have been other people who have also fulfilled that role for me from time to time. But case in point, I was married to a minister, and we had a very active life. And at that time, this was around 1984, many, many moons ago, I had three very small children, and a very active life, and I was working, and I was going to graduate school. How about that? This one day, I remember, and I share this story all the time, it's where I had two classes to attend in grad school, working on my MBA degree. I had two papers that were due that day, and I had two church services to go to, because we were entertaining, I believe we had a conference going on, an annual conference going on, and so I had to be present as well. Had it not been for my support network, and that's the entire church, Charles Street AME Church here in Boston, and friends who were nearby, and those wonderful women at the church, wonderful women, who said, we'll take care of your kids, you just go do what you have to do. And I got that repeatedly because they knew what I was about, they knew my intentions, they knew I had to work and had these other responsibilities, and they stepped forward and said, we'll take care of the kids, don't worry about it, we're here for you. And that's literally what happened. So I was able to offload and run around like a crazy person. And that particular day, with my church hat on, I went to class, I came back and wrote papers, I went to two services, and I got everything done. I could not have done that without a support network. So that and other circumstances just reminded me over and over again, I'm not in here by myself. I can't do this by myself. And even as a divorced person, because remember, I told you I've been divorced for many years, I've still had support networks to come through for me at the final hour, at the first hour, at the middle hour to support and help me. You need some kind of support network to help out in those circumstances. Now, Linda Scales, who is a family, extended family friend, and my mom was her godmother, she said, and she's just pointing out what I'm talking about. She says, accept help. She says, don't try to be super mom. You don't need to prove anything. She'd know that because she has a husband, a couple of kids, and she was a very active veterinarian for a number of years. So again, particularly if you have high-level jobs, high-pressure jobs, or jobs that require extended hours, you need to have those support networks. If you live in the north and you have snow days, you need to line up the people you're going to call or work things off, shift things off. My daughter and son-in-law with their two kids, they know their schedules. So when the snow days kick in, somebody's got to leave work early and be with the children. Or if the school lets out early, somebody's got to leave work early and pick up the kids. You can't leave the kids there overnight. So you've got to figure out these arrangements and prepare for them in advance. Right now we're entering into the summer season, and you may have to right now figure out what are your plans going forward with your kids for the summer. And I'm very happy that last year, and I'll do it again this year, for most of the summer I was able to take care of my grandchildren along with my other daughter who is here and my son-in-law who is here in the greater Boston area. So again, we set up our schedules and we took care of the grandkids all summer long so that my daughter and son-in-law could work. So again, great advice. Now here's some advice about, again, not being the supermom. This is from Darcy Oralala, who was just a wonderful person. And she says, for me, it took a village. Ask for help. The cupcakes can be from the grocery store for school events. And yes, there were times when I carried the screaming child out of the daycare because they were tired and they loved it. And she says, and they loved it. They didn't want to leave, and that's okay. So again, your kids are cranky, your kids get emotional. That's what happens because they're little human beings. And so we have to put up for their their emotions from time to time. Trust me, I know exactly what Darcy's talking about. So that's really a great piece of advice that she shared with us. So, you know, sometimes you have to acquiesce and you've got to be flexible. And sometimes kids are involved with their friends in daycare and they don't want to leave. And they show out in terms of how they don't want to leave. Or maybe they're not feeling well, and so you've got to pick them up early. That happens an awful lot with children. They have a cold, they have allergies, things are not working right for them, especially with young kids, very young kids. So you need to have your plans in place, and you need to have the support network in place, the fallback plan, so that if you can't leave work, and you get that phone call from the daycare nurse, the school nurse, the teacher, et cetera, you need to have person B to be able to pick up your child or your children. That is really critical. So thank you so much, Darcy, for that important tip. Keith Williams is my cousin, and he says family first. He says no, he's a great dad and granddad. The acquisition of material things have become so important that it impacts us to work more and focus on family less. Take every moment to be a part of a family, and that is great advice. Take every moment to be a part of a family that you can. Really important advice, and we get caught up in the stuff, particularly those of us here in Western countries and the accumulation of stuff. And the time it takes to accumulate stuff. And we have so much stuff, we have to have storage units for our stuff. And storage units are going up all over the United States. It's a very fast-growing business because it collects and keeps all of our stuff. We have a lot of stuff. And sometimes as a young mom, you've got to, it's a trade-off. Do you want a lot of stuff? Or do you want to have the kind of relationship with your family so that you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to them and the guilt that may hit you 20, 30 years later because you didn't take care of home first because you were focused on the stuff and the accumulation of the stuff. So that's pretty much where we're going to land today. Again, there are many more comments, and we're going to get to them all next week. I guess I will read just one more, one very quickly from J.J. Melendez, another great mom, and she has young adults now, and she says, to make decisions you think will help you, to make decisions you think will help you to be whole and block out the criticism of others, even family, who tell you selfish, self-care is selfish. Self-care is selfish. Parenting, working, and studying are all possible, and so is building in alone time. Now, I wanted to read her comment because she is finishing up her doctorate. She has a husband. She remarried, has a wonderful husband, has two great kids, and she works full time. And she's packing it all in because clearly JJ has figured out a system that is working for her and works for her family. So that's why I wanted to read these comments, and I can't wait to read the others next week because they're terrific, and I'm sure we'll get some more in between now and next Thursday. Just to let you know, you're not out here by yourself. There are people out here who can help you. There are family members who want to support if you just say help. There are resources that you can tap into. If you need some inspiration, you can put on your favorite song, read your favorite passage of scripture, read your favorite poem, pick up a book sometimes, go outside and take a walk around your backyard or the front of your house, or take a longer walk near the park just to clear your head. Another tip that I did when I was working outside of the home and I would come back and my kids were just eager and waiting for me, that I would spend an extra 10 or 15 minutes in my car just to prepare myself to go in the house. I read books on tape, so I was reading a lot of books on tape, and that would prepare me as well. So I'd have my pleasure time there before I got home and care of family responsibilities and cooking, et cetera. So it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Being a mom is a marathon. And we're going to continue these conversational points and these tips as they come in. I thank everyone who contributed. Please keep them coming. I think what I'll probably do is ultimately put them on the website opposite the blog, or we'll create something where you'll be able to refer to them. But I hope that you will have a memorable Mother's Day. I hope if this is a painful time for you that you'll surround yourself with loved ones or people who care about you so that you can get through Mother's Day. And I hope if you are a young person or an older person and your mom is still living and she's done the very best that she can, that you will either virtually or in person give her the biggest hug, the biggest kiss that you possibly can, because she has been a terrific mom. Thanks so much for listening today. We'll be back next week with part two of this show about helpful tips for moms. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We'll see you soon. Have a great Mother's Day weekend. Bye.